Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series entitled Healing and Wholeness. Today our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James. The talk is entitled Deliverance and Freedom. The readings are taken from Psalm 107 and Luke 4 verses 31 to 37. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Our first reading is taken from Psalm 107. The title, In Praise of God's Goodness. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love is eternal. Repeat these words in praise to the Lord, all you whom he has saved. He has rescued you from your enemies and has brought you back from foreign countries, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the trackless desert and could not find their way to the city to live in. They were hungry and thirsty, and they had given up all hope. Then in their trouble, they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He led them by a straight road to a city where they could live. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. He satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some were living in gloom and darkness, prisoners suffering in chains. Because they had rebelled against the commands of the Almighty God and rejected his instructions. They were worn out from hard work. They would fall down and no one would help. Then, in their trouble, they called to the Lord, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of their gloom and darkness and broke their chains in pieces. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. He breaks down doors of bronze and smashes iron bars. And some were fools, suffering because of their sins and because of their evil. They couldn't stand the sight of food and were close to death. Then in their trouble, they called to the Lord and he saved them from their distress. He healed them with his command and saved them from the grave. They must thank the Lord for his constant love, for the wonderful things he did for them. They must thank him with sacrifices and with songs of joy must tell all that he has done. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37, and describes how Jesus drove out an evil spirit. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. This is the word of the Lord.
Just pause and pray. Lord Jesus, help us to grasp your authority both in the physical world and in the spiritual world, and your desire to grow healing and wholeness among your people for the sake of your world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, week four of our theme on healing and wholeness, and they're going to be just one more week. So we're coming to the end of this short series. And just a quick recap, we started with an introduction and just to help us realizing that the whole idea of healing and wholeness is God's desire for the whole of his creation. And at the heart of it is Jesus Christ, the cross, his death, resurrection, and the freedom Jesus gives to us today. And then the week after, we looked at the Holy Spirit and the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit, the fruits that he produces in the life of Christians, and the gift that he gives to the church for that important ministry. And last week, we looked at healing and wholeness in, I would say, the physical world, the healing and the wholeness that God brings in bodies, in minds, but also how he reconciled people with their community and bring out healed relationships with one another and with God. Today we pause and we look at Christ's authority in the spiritual world. And the big idea this morning is that the Bible, and especially the ministry of Jesus, treats evil spiritual power as real and active in the world. And so as followers of Jesus walking in his footsteps, we need to acknowledge this reality. We need to do that soberly, carefully, and pastorally. C.S. Lewis, in his famous introduction to the Screwtape Letters, a great book to kind of explore the whole influence of the spiritual world into our lives. But he warns us of two equal and opposite errors. One is to disbelieve in their existence. And the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. And so as Christians, we must avoid two mistakes: reductionism and sensationalism. On the one hand, we must not fall into reductionism, which is dismissing the spiritual realm altogether and pretending that evil is only a metaphor. On the other hand, is to fall into sensationalism, which is seeing demonic everywhere or blaming every hardship, sickness, or struggles to evil spirits. That kind of thinking can cause unnecessary fear, and even harm. And one of the great dangers in Christian circles is to overly connect sickness, mental illness, physical or cognitive limitation to evil spirit. So let me say it very clearly. It's not biblical, it's not wise, and it's not pastoral, and it has caused much harm. Many faithful Christians do struggle with mental illness. depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress, and others. They are not possessed. They don't need an exorcism. Many find great help in medicine and professional therapy. They're all part of God's gracious provision. Taking medicine and seeking professional help is not a sign of weak faith. It can be an act of wisdom, courage, and stewardship of the life God has given us. And the same is true for those who live with physical or cognitive limitations. Their faith, their perseverance, their trust in God often shines all the brighter. Often their lives are testimonies, living witnesses of God's presence and strength and grace, both to the church and to the watching world. So today, as we speak about evil spiritual beings and freedom from spiritual oppression, we must hold in balance all those realities. Yes, demons are real. Yes, Christ's authority is greater. And yes, we must approach this subject wisely, carefully, and pastorally. Because the heart of this message this morning is not fear of evil, but faith in Christ, who has already triumphed all evil. Might be helpful to look at some of those words we used, demon, Satan, the devil, because behind those words were meanings at the times, and often those words are used with pictures that kind of TV and the media and films shows, which are at times unhelpful or even dangerous. So what about the word demon? Well, it comes from a Greek word, daimon or daimonion, which in Greek philosophy was just spiritual beings. They didn't have as such always a connotation of negative, just spiritual beings. Like we are physical beings, they are spiritual beings. Now, clearly in the New Testament, they take on the idea of evil being. They are beings that are opposed to God, that distort truth, and want to harm human life. And then we have these other terms, Satan, which we use. In the Old Testament, the meaning was the adversary. So sometimes, instead of using the word Satan, which can create all kind of picture and pitfall, and we can just say the accuser, the adversary, the opponent to God. That's what Satan, the word, means. And in the New Testament, it's the same, the adversary, that explicit person being opposed to God. And then we have devil, the word devil, or diabolos in Greek, which has at its heart the meaning of accuser, the one who accuses. Then we have other titles, such as prince of this world, or father of lies. So at times it's helpful, maybe instead of speaking of the devil and Satan, to say the accuser, the one who opposed God's plan, the one who is the father of lies. That's what we mean when we speak of the devil and demons. Jesus himself encountered the devil. We have the 40 days in the desert. And he encounters here an evil spirit, and in many other accounts in the New Testament. He addresses them and he casts them out. The apostles spoke of them as real. And today, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be level-headed, sound in judgment, discerning, and spiritually alert. And so let's take a time in today's gospel reading where we hear Jesus encountering an evil spirit. Some translation puts an impure spirit. It's one of the many moments in the gospel that shows us Jesus' authority. We've seen last week the authority on the physical realm. Today is the authority on the spiritual realm. But notice something very important in this story. The story is told simply and directly. It's straightforward. Jesus speaks, the Spirit obeys, the man is freed, the people are amazed. So let's set the scene. Jesus arrived in Capernaum, which is a small town in Galilee, a kind of a key town located on the main trade route between Egypt and Syria. It's still a place you can see today. It has another name, and it's an archaeological site. And it was a kind of home base for Jesus' ministry in Galilee. So it was not the first time he was there. And through Scripture, through the New Testament, the Gospels, we hear of this place a few times. So it's Sabbath, which is the holy day where people gather, a little bit like today. We gather on a Sunday. They gathered on Saturday. And Jesus reads Scriptures, like we've done. And he teaches the congregation. And we hear people are impressed. They're amazed. They're amazed not just because of what he knows, but how he speaks. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Now think about that for a moment. We all have met amazing teachers, speakers, which are charismatic or clever or very persuasive. But it seems that Jesus' words were different. They carry weight, truth, and power. They make people feel that God is breaking into their world, into their lives, ready to transform a person and a situation. When Jesus speaks, it's not just information. It's God's presence making a difference, bringing freedom and changing lives. Jesus' authority is not about volume or style or great intellectual knowledge or persuasion, although it's part of that. It's more importantly about truth, rooted in God's character, in God's intention and power imparted by the Holy Spirit. Not only were the people amazed in that passage at the teaching, but also at his actions and authority. And so we have this account of a man controlled and overcome by an evil spirit, an interaction with Jesus. And through the man, the Spirit speaks, recognizing Jesus' identity, his power, and his authority. Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are God's chosen one. Jesus responds with calm and authority. Just 6 words in English. Be quiet. Come out of him. And that's it. Evil spirit is gone. The victory is won. The man may have been thrown down briefly in the passage we read, but we also hear he's unharmed. The evil spirit that had wrecked this man's life is gone. I wonder what the people saw. I wonder what you imagine as you read that passage. Whatever had plagued him, whether fear, torment, or out-of-control behavior, it's just gone. We don't know the details. Did he stand smiling with a new joy? Did peace shine on his face? What we do know is their reaction, the reaction of the congregation. They were amazed, and they said to each other, there we go, I think it's on the top there. On the top. What words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey. I wonder if you've noticed what's not in this story, in this account. No theatrical, no sensational drama like we might sometimes see in films or even in some modern portrayal. Just Jesus. Calm, clear, decisive. Be quiet. Come out. And freedom happens. This is a picture of how Jesus encounters and deals with evil forces. Not just then, but also now. Jesus has an authority and power that no evil can withstand. And this story isn't just a fascinating historical account. It shapes how we are called as a church, as a faith community, how we are called to approach prayer, faith, and spiritual freedom. First, it is faith in Jesus' authority. People are amazed, not at Jesus' style of charisma, but at his authority and the power of his words. Jesus speaks and darkness obeys. And so it reminds us that when we pray, our confidence does not rest on our eloquence, our knowledge, or emotion, but on Christ's authority. When we pray against spiritual oppression for each other, for ourselves, we do not pray in our own strength. We stand in the authority of Jesus, who has already triumphed. Calm, clear, and decisive prayer. Notice Jesus' approach. It's simple. It's direct. Be quiet. Come out. There's no drama. No frantic displays. This, I believe, teaches us that prayer for freedom should be focused, confident, and rooted in God's character, his words, and his desire, not anxious or sensational. Spiritual battle is serious, but it's not chaotic. God's Spirit works through clarity. He will give us direction. He will help us to make decisions, obedient decisions. It's not about panic or noises. Getting there? No? That's it. And then third, God's word and presence. Jesus' authority comes from being rooted in God, his Father. He says, I can only do what I see the Father is doing. He knew his Father, his will, his intention, and the truth. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so likewise, our prayers are effective when we align ourselves with Scripture, with God's will, when we allow the Spirit to be present in our ministry. We invite God's presence, and that's why when we do prayer ministry, we usually pause after listening to a need, and we say, Come, Holy Spirit, because it's through his authority and his guidance that we do this ministry. So we don't know what led this man to be in that condition. Scripture doesn't provide details of the circumstances. But we are warned in Scripture of things that, as Christians, we shouldn't dabble with. We are warned of practices that could bring some spiritual kind of ivy in our lives, and that can stop or slow down our walk with God. Some of those practices include spiritualists, or visiting people who have psychic abilities, or clairvoyance, attempt to speaking to the dead, or engaging in habitual spiritism. They are using Ouija boards. Ouija board, is that the correct? Ouija. Ouija, not Ouija, Ouija. It's Ouija or Ouija? Some say Ouija, some say Ouija. There we go. You know what I mean. Yes? Tarot cards. All those things that people want to seek knowledge about the future, contact with the spiritual world. Engaging in horoscopes or astrology. Or many of the practices rooted in Eastern mysticism that often invokes gods or spiritual energies or unseen forces. Now, you might say, well, actually, I've been involved in those things in the past. Now, I wouldn't be too at the heart of this, not fear, but if you do and if you think God is speaking to you today, explore whatever you sense God is directing you to speak with a mature Christian or to make use of the prayer ministry. Or you might know someone who is engaged in some of those practices. And if they question, well, it is our responsibility to alert them of the danger. We do that sensitively, pastorally, but boldly. And if they're not Christian, we can still gently warn them, sharing that Jesus offers so much more, far greater freedom and life, and just leave them gently in prayer. So as we bring this message to a close, let's remember the reality of what we've heard today. Evil is real. Spiritual forces seek to oppose, to deceive, to oppress, or to gain a foothold in people's life, and that can include yours and mine. But even more real, more powerful, and more decisive is Jesus Christ. He is the master of all creation. He has won the victory. He is the master of the spirit world and the master of every force of darkness. When we see him in the gospel, calm, clear, decisive, speaking just six simple words that set a man free, we can come to him in confidence and trust. It's a glimpse of that reality that Jesus' authority cannot be resisted. Evil obeys his voice, and freedom follows his word. So let's remember that spiritual battle is real, but it's not chaos. It's not sensationalism. Prayer and minister with calm and confidence, rooted in Scripture and in the Holy Spirit. And let us remind ourselves of that passage in 1 Peter 5. We are called to be sober-minded. In other words, clear-minded, watchful. The devil, and we can replace it with all those titles we heard, the deceiver, the tempter, the accuser, the father of lies, prowls like a lion, looking for a foothold. So know where the battle is and stand firm in Christ. But above all, do not leave today with fear. Remember this. It's Jesus' ministry. It's his authority and his spirit who is at work in us and among us. So today, may you be blessed. And may you receive afresh that promise of God's freedom and life in faith and trust. And let's finish with a short prayer of gratitude and faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus hath authority over every power of darkness. Deliver us, your people, from all that binds us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may live life free and whole for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.